to make up our mind and take the right decision. You know, God has been so gracious, and He is extending the time. He is giving us another chance. He said, He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Brethren, God is dunging us. God is giving us another opportunity. God is bringing forth His word. And I hear the cry in our hearts. And say, Lord, have mercy. Give me another chance. Give me one more year. Give me one more time. And I believe that as we hear the word of God today, let us take it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, it's a privilege and a fearful thing to be standing here in the presence of yours and the presence of your people. And I do pray, my God, that you would overshadow me and that you would overshadow this place. I pray, my Lord, that your presence would come. And as I speak, I pray, Lord, that you would be able to speak through me, O God, to particular hearts. That you would be touching issues of the heart, that you would be dealing with situations and bring deliverance. My God, I pray that your Holy Ghost would have a free course, and we rebuke every other spirit who would try to come and have preeminence. Every other spirit who would try to come and misuse the gathering of the saints, because we do know, Lord, that when the saints are gathered, all the other spirits are gathered here as well, to be feasting, and we reject them. We are not giving them to eat anything.
Amen.
My God, I pray that you would help us to focus our minds. It would be able to hear what you have to say. Lord, hear it in a way that you would apply to our lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is a fearful thing, isn't it, to be in the presence of God. In one hand, it's a great blessing, and it's very good. On the other hand, we know that this is a serious business, serious thing. It is a serious thing because the promises, the price that has been paid, amen, and the free will God has given to us, which is giving us the possibility to miss it by our own decision. The problem is, our own decision very often is that we don't decide. And we believe that when we don't decide, we gain the time, or we have avoided the consequences of deciding wrongly. But by not deciding, the decision has been made. Amen?
Yes.
And that's the fearful thing. So I pray that God would open our minds in a way that we would understand what is in stake. Hallelujah. God was recently putting on my heart, and this is recent weeks and months, and perhaps that's something you all know and you're very much aware. But He was putting on my heart to explain who we exactly are and what is our role. Brother Barak touched it very nicely when he was explaining explaining about the church. We have tendency to think bad about church or the word church. And sometimes I have a hard time when people ask me whether I'm Christian and they are from the world. I have a tendency to explain, yes, but. You know what I mean? Because I do not want to be associated with the mainstream, which is unfortunately having the same name, but unfortunately it's not bringing the glory of God. So, regardless of the bad experience we have with the word church and what the church is doing these days, we are church, and that's a biblical word, isn't it?
Yes.
But we need to be the true church, the church of God,
yes,
not the church of the world.
Yes.
Because the church is really, these days, more business in a religious shape or environment. But God is making a church, amen, and He is giving us a particular job. He had designed it from the very beginning, amen, who we are supposed to be. And Brother Berg was talking a few beautiful pictures. And the beauty of the picture is the bride. Amen? The wife. Do you remember Isaac being the son Abraham sent? And he's looking for a wife. And what struck me there is the thought of compatibility. Is it correct pronunciation? Yeah. That the bride, that the wife, needs to be compatible. In other words, swear you will not get him wife from the land of Canaan.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? What's the trouble? What's the problem? There is a major principle. There's a major principle. God cannot associate light with darkness.
Amen.
There's a major separation. And this is something we struggle with. We would like to have it both. We would like to have the light as well as darkness. But one of the first things God did is He separated light from darkness.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And He is not allowing, and He will not allow, because it's against His nature that light associates with darkness. And this is the problem of the present church, brethren.
Yeah.
This is our trouble. This is our problem. That we would like to have light, but we have a hard time rejecting darkness.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And maybe we can say amen to rejecting darkness, but when it comes to reality, I mean when it touches our life, daily life, from morning till the evening, when it touches the money, when it touches the children, when it touches the wife and husband, when it touches the work, when it touches whatever there is, we start defending our position and say, why are you demanding? Why are you touching this? Can't I live a normal, regular life and be Christian? Well, I don't think we are understanding the calling. We are understanding who we really are in the Lord. Amen? Well, okay, let me touch a few things and I'll try to explain it. We did mention that God called two lights. Amen? The big light, which is the sun, He called for the day. And the moon, He called to be the light for the night. Amen?
Amen?
So, church is supposed to do what?
To give the light.
To be the light. Okay, let me ask it differently. The question is now, and let's get it from the Bible. Who is the light of the world?
No.
We are the light.
The church is the light.
Yeah? Did you know Jesus is not light of the world anymore?
Yes.
He said, while I'm in the world.
While I'm in the world. You know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world while I am in the world.
Yes.
We all remember the scripture and it's perfectly correct.
Yes.
And it's speaking about Jesus being the light. And hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. But that's not applicable anymore because he is not here and we cannot observe his walk. Amen. The world cannot observe his walk. So he handed it over to us. So now we are supposed to be the light of the world because of the present darkness. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is that people should go around and they need to come and see the church. I mean, not the church, I mean you. And I don't mean you in plural, I mean you individually. The world needs to come and see you, see your walk, see the way you treat your kids, see the way you treat your wife and husband. They need to see the way you think. They need to see the way you handle finances and parents and whatever there is. I mean, the practicalities of life.
Amen.
Amen. And they need to see, and that should be an answer for their own life. That should be the light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the calling of the true church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And wherever we are failing, we need to repent because we are coming short of the calling. Hallelujah. You know, we can gather here and we can be doing whatever we are doing and praise the Lord, it's good and it's encouragement and it's necessary to gather here. But unless we take the Word and the Word becomes flesh, hallelujah, we have missed it all. It is not for the knowledge. Amen. It's not for the knowledge that we would be more clever. These things, by the way, they will all pass. It's only for season. Like the physical tabernacle, we don't build anymore, do we? Because we understand the shadow of it. And we would like to become the true tabernacle. We would like to become the true habitation of God. Because God wants to inhabit us. He wants to inhabit us in a way that if He wants to bring God somewhere, God bringing God somewhere, you know what I mean? He sends you. He sends you as a representation of His presence. And when we come, we are to be the presence of God.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to take the Word and apply it. We need to take the Word and say, God, what are you saying about my life? What is there you're after? What do you want me to change? Very, very practically. You know what I'm saying? Because the church is represented. When God was looking for a representation from the tabernacle, and we know the tabernacle, I've seen it somewhere, unless we have changed the slides. Is it still the same thing?
Yes.
All right. There's tabernacle right here. Good. And there is the lampstand, right? Can I edit? Sometimes we call it candlestick, even though we do know. There are candles there, right? So it's not a candlestick, it's a lampstand. When you go to Revelation 1, then you would find Revelation 1, 2, 3, if you wish. There you would find that we are referred to. If you go 120, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, which we know is lampstand. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen.
Yes.
So the Lord is referring to the church as a candlestick. Lampstand again. Amen?
Amen?
Why is he choosing the lampstand to refer to a church?
To the light of the world.
Because we are the light of the world.
Yes.
We are supposed to be the light of the world. We are supposed to be the one in the darkness to be giving light. Amen?
Amen.
And this is our job. We can be gathered. And we can be doing our meetings. But unless is producing the light, we are falling short of the calling and election which is there. But you say, how do we produce the light? You know, you can be asking, what is the way we need to produce a light? What is it? How do we as a church produce life? Light. And life, by the way. What do we do? Expand ourselves? Well, yes. What is the lampstand standing for? We know that the lampstand is pure gold, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, did you notice that's the furniture which is not wood covered with gold?
Yes.
But it's gold, it's pure gold. It's beaten gold, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you have... It's the same level. So you have the lampstand, and it's pure gold. And the lampstand, the symbolism of it, is that there is 1 + 6. So it would be 1 and 6 branches. So 1 + 6 = 7. So the 7 is fullness, isn't it? The 7 is the perfect way, the perfect will. And how is it produced, the 7, in this particular furniture, is that it's cooperation of God and man.
Yes.
So the way to produce light is to be led by the Lord and be changed by the Lord, and therefore we produce light. Because don't be mistaken, you can produce a false light.
Yes, sir.
Light which is not bringing people to God. And this is, I don't know what word to use, I would use charity, but charity biblically can mean the love, agape love. I mean the, you know what I mean by charity?
Yeah.
You know, charity, the world is doing, all the churches are doing, you know, they are doing good stuff and good things, but that's not what God is asking us. You know, Jesus was not going around and establishing charities, was he?
No.
Whatever he did, it pointed to the Father. And it was miraculous. Amen? So, if we want to be as a church or as individuals, if we want to be the light for the world, you have to learn to cooperate with God Himself.
Amen.
It doesn't work in any other way. How do you cooperate with God? How do you work with God? First, you have to hear him or see him. Unless you know what he's saying, how shall you obey? How will you be able to do what he says you to do if you don't hear him? If you don't spend the time? And my children ask me, of course, as they grow, this is one of the things each of them is asking me. Daddy, how do I hear God? Then how do you hear God? Because they have a lot of testimonies. Zillion testimonies all the time, and they are puzzled. How did you know, Daddy? How did you know, Mommy? Well, the Lord told me. How do you hear Him? You know what I mean? You know, these are the little testimonies, and that puzzles the children. Because they see God dealing through people. And they see it's something you cannot fabricate. You can do charities. You can do these little things. But the question is, are you working with God? How do you learn to hear from the Lord? How do we? I mean, do you hear? Do you hear and do your children hear God? In the way that God can lead you, talk to you, give you words and understand. Or do we have the mentality of a clergy and laity? Maybe the clergy, yes, the ministry.
Thank you.
From God. No, we have rejected it, haven't we? Each of us individually needs to hear from God.
Amen.
What do I do if I don't? I need to repent. And you know, my children, sometimes they ask me something. They ask me a question. They ask me, Daddy, can I this and this? And I tell them, well, no. And they keep asking, so Daddy, can I this and this? And I keep quiet. Why do you think I keep quiet? Because I told them already. And they learn this. And after a while, you know, especially when the older kid is around, they come and say, don't bother him. I mean, he said what he said. He's not going to answer you. You know what I mean? So they have to do what I told them to do first, and then they can come and I tell them more. You know, I'm not going to tell them and repeat myself because it still is valid what I did say 2 minutes ago. The problem is, that's not what I wanted to hear. So they ask me a question, they don't get the right answer from their perspective, the right answer. So they try to ask me again and hope they'll get the right answer. And if they could persuade the other parents, you know, they try to get a better answer from them or from somebody else. Like sometimes we would do and find preachers that they would give us the right answer. Amen? If the preacher sounds too strict, too limiting for our life, we go around and find somebody who says, no, that's all right. And we believe we have heard from God. No, we haven't. We haven't heard from God. And not only that, but you know what has happened? We have spoiled our hearing. We will not be able to hear from God specifically and precisely unless we learn how to obey what we have already heard. And this is not that God will speak to us revelation from Bible only. If we believe that hearing God is that I read the Bible and He explains me what each and particular thing means, and that's it, you are mistaken. Because God is very much interested in talking to you about you. Amen?
Yes.
He wants to establish relationship with you. And He says, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you personally. God wants to talk to you personally and to you personally. And if you hear Him, you know, and I tell the children, you know, when you're doing something and you hear this little voice and it sounds like a mind or you're not sure, but it's not you because it's telling you something you don't want to do, but you know is right. In that very moment, you have a decision you need to take, you need to make. Will I obey? Because if you do, not only you have saved part of your soul, but you are tuning your ear and you are hearing better what He is saying. Those people who hear very well from the Lord are the people who are trained to obey. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't hear precisely from the Lord, it's because, well, I think you know. You know, God is going to use us. God is going to speak to us. God is going to be sending us. He is going to make us a light. And sometimes what He says, it sounds too simple or too foolish or too strange. And sometimes we do not understand exactly why is He saying what He is saying. You know what I mean? But it's building in us the ability. He's training us. It's like when we are training our children. He's training us. I remember once we are in the kitchen and my wife is there and she says, God is telling me to take a bottle of milk and walk to the neighbor and give him a bottle of milk. Oh, okay. I mean, better obey. Not that one would understand it, but all right, just knock at the door and say, well, sorry, the Lord is telling me with a bottle of milk. you know what I mean? And yes, sometimes it can be strange or weird. So she's, you know, I don't know how exactly she felt, but she reached to the fridge and took a bottle of milk and she went to the neighbor and before she was able to knock on the door, the neighbor is opening the door. You know, and she said, hi, sorry, I'm bringing you a bottle of milk. And he says, oh, that's a weird thing. We have a visit. And I'm fixing them a tea, and I did realize I have no milk, so I was thinking maybe I go to you and ask you for some milk if you have some left. You know what I mean? By the way, both of them are here. You know, so you can ask them and they can and testify to that. I would like to, you know, and you can go again and again, and the kids are asking, how did you hear it, Mommy? I don't know exactly, but I know that I obeyed it. You know what I mean? And you can go and you can have testimony and God can use you. But the problem is, we have to make up our mind who we believe we are. If we believe we are just people, and this is our problem, if we believe we are just people, we are just people worshiping God, going to church, being religious, loving some sort of righteousness, you know, limiting God out, we will be just what we believe we are. But one of the main things is God was explaining to us and showing to us that we are not just people. Do you know that? Do you know we are not just people?
Right.
Yeah. Do you know? And this is one of the key of Revelation. If we understand who we are and who we're supposed to be. Because we believe sometimes we are British. That's easy to say because I don't know whether there are any British people here anyway. You know, it's easy to say they. You know, what about Nigerians? What about Czechs, Americans, whoever else I might have forgotten, Germans or whoever else is here, you know? And we might be proud of it. And we might say, okay, God, can't I be German and still a son of God? Can't I be Nigerian and still son of God? The answer is no. The answer is no. You can't. You can't because God has not created the cultures.
Oh, yes.
This is what is against God, actually, because your culture is teaching you different than the Word of God is teaching you.
Yes.
Now the question is, oh my, you know, what do I do about this? You might have your festivals, you might have your seasons, you might have your customs. Well, God has two.
Yes, amen.
And they are different, trust me, they are not Czech customs.
Yes.
You might be laughing about our customs. Maybe not laughing. It's Eastern, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what do we do? I don't know whether you do it, but what do we do on Easter? You know, that's a Czech. That's a Czech thing. And so if I want to be Czech, we should keep it. What do? We have a long stick. It's not stick, is it? How do we call it? Huh? It's like few rods, and you work with the rods and put them together, braid it together, okay? And it's big, you know, and we go around on Easter Monday, the men, and we whip the ladies. Huh? You don't really want to know why. Because it's a little ridiculous. Okay, so we go around and you with the girls and the mothers and the grandmothers and you go house to house. So the girl gets spanked 20 times, 30 times, very regularly. Yeah? Seriously, no kidding. You know. And then the girl, after she gets spanked, she kind of thanks you. Okay. And, well, you would be surprised when the boys come and they spank the girl and it's 10 times and the girl is already sick of it and tired of it, you know. She says, Daddy, don't open the door anymore. And the daddy is the one, welcome! Come again. You know. And the girl, when she's beaten up or spanked or whatever you call it, she's supposed to give an egg to the boy. So the boy goes around and he's collecting eggs.
Egg?
I don't want to, yeah, egg. I do not want to go in details. If you will go to history, you would understand this is only symbolic. You understand, perhaps, what it means, and I cannot and will not go into explanations, but you perhaps can imagine what it represents, the thing he holds in his hand, And you can imagine what the egg represents. All right? So this is our habit. You want to become Czech? Not the ladies, huh? Why I am picking on Czechs? Because it's easy for you. I need some Nigerian to be picking on Nigerians. I need some American to be picking on Americans. You know what I'm saying? We think it's fine. And you know the church says it's Eastern. The egg and all this is symbolism of Jesus Christ, and they give you all this rubbish. You know? And they say, oh, we do it in our church and we celebrate Jesus. You know, we do it and then we sing songs. And this is what the Christians do. They go to church, they do this, and then go and they go around and keep spanking. And if you talk to them and say, that doesn't sound right. What's wrong with this? Why are you taking my culture? You know, I was recently in Uganda, and one brother was explaining me all the cultures they have in Uganda. And it's very sickening. You know, if you imagine all these things which are happening there. You know, I say, well, here and in this village, they eat people. What? Yeah, but don't worry, they eat people only from the next village. You know, they don't go as far as to the main city. And these things, and again, it might be easy for us to laugh at it, because we say, well, it's Uganda, or the Ugandians, or whatever, you know, it is. But, brethren, are we still wanting and willing to be associated with our nation? Do we still believe that we will remain who we are in our nation and then be sons of God? What are we representing? Are we representing our country? You know, by the customs, by the behavior, people aren't able to tell. Not by the color of the skin, trust me. You know, I know a man who was very, very, very weird in the color of his skin. Because he was talking, he was acting, and I knew him from the tapes. Then I saw him. He was black. He didn't talk black. He didn't think black. You know, when he was black skin. He told me, Martin, that's funny because white people think I'm black. Black people think I'm white. Huh? Isn't it so? It's Brother Dusil I'm talking about. You know what I mean? He wasn't black man, was he? No. You know, and I don't want to be white man. No. Amen? Amen? I don't want to be Czech. I don't want to be known as a Czech. I don't want that when I speak, when I deal, and I'm not talking about an accent, I'm not talking about the skin, because that's not the problem. The problem is here, the mentality. What am I promoting? Am I promoting the Czechness? Am I promoting the Nigerianity or whatever it is? What is the thing? No, I'm serious, brethren. We are so much struggling to give up. We are trying to hold the things and say, can't we have both? Can't we be like the other nations? Can't we be like the other churches? We would like to establish what the churches have. And God is saying, no, I want to be your Lord. I want you to listen to me, hear me, understand me, and walk. I want to send you somewhere. I want when the people look at the kids, I want them to say, how did you do that? You know what I mean? I want you to be light. I want you that when they come and they say, well, listen, I mean, how's that? In the worst case, they'll say, oh, you're so lucky. You know, you've got good kids. Yeah, they were born like that. No, seriously. Seriously, this is that the people need to know you by. Yes. Or you say, well, maybe when they are bigger. You know, I mean, Jesus, when he was 12. Well, that was Jesus. But we are supposed to be like Jesus. Yes. We are supposed to be like Jesus in every aspect. Because you know what? We are the same nature as Jesus is. We believe that there is God there and there is people down here. It's not true. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. He's your oldest brother. Amen. And his father is your father. Amen. You are children of God. You are children of light, the Bible says. Amen.
The light has birthed you. Amen?
Amen.
You are born of light. You need to walk in light.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, God says that the church is a candlestick. It's represented. It's represented. The candlestick is representing the church. By the way, we should be walking as a church. Not being organized and well working as a machine and have pastors and people who are leading us. You know, we need to be sensitive, every single one of us.
Amen.
And we need to hear what God is saying. What if God wants us to meet somewhere else? Will we be able to hear Him? What if God wants to redirect us, change the plan? You know what I mean? Are we willing and able to hear Him? No, God, I already have a plan. Oh, wedding. All right. But I've got a business. Really? Who is making your calendar? Is it God? Is it your business? What is who is the priority? What is the priority? You know what I'm saying? And what is important for your children? What is important for your life? Education? How successful they will be? What is it? Well, it depends who you are. If you believed, and I really mean believed, that you are supposed to be the sons of God, then everything else comes aside, doesn't it? Imagine you would realize that you are by some chance son or daughter of a local queen or king or some other king or queen. Wouldn't it entirely change your life and perspective? Wouldn't you stop worrying about certain things? And wouldn't you start being interested in taking over the kingdom? Not overtaking, taking over. Because this is how God did it. This is the purpose. We are the people of God. You know what I mean? But we don't believe it. We cannot imagine it, and we cannot comprehend it. We cannot believe that a calling is that we should be walking on this earth as people of God, representing God. We should answer to the people and say, if you're looking for God, look at me. As Jesus did. We are not getting it. We don't believe it. We believe it maybe for somebody else. We believe it maybe for Brother Dusil. We believe it maybe for Brother Bird. We believe it maybe for some other people. Amen. But we cannot imagine it as me. But that's the very calling. What do you believe then? Do you believe then to get saved and die and go to heaven? Well, all right. That's true, by the way. Is that the calling? Is that sufficient? I think it is for some of us, judging by the way we walk, judging by the way we make decisions, judging by the way we have opinions about everything. I think. Jesus wasn't thinking. Well, of course he was thinking, but he was not having opinions about, well, what we should, shouldn't. He says, I didn't do anything unless I heard it or seen it from the Father.
Amen?
Amen. And you know, if you think you heard from God and you haven't, what do? You need to repent. You need to admit it and say, God, I missed you. And the question is, how come I have missed you? What was the thing in me that made me to miss you? How come I heard this when obviously you are saying something else? Well, because there is a new competing thought. There is a new competing ambition. There is a new something that you want. There is flesh demanding. There is soul, which is the old soul, and the old soul is trying to keep the old nature, the old will, the old desires. Don't touch my desires. Don't touch my money. Don't touch my children. Don't touch my family. Don't touch my job. But brethren, it's not going to help us if we sit in these meetings. Unless we take the word and we do something practical about it.
Amen.
You know, there needs to be life in us. How do I know there is no life? Tell me, how do I know? How do we know it? Just look at the praises. It's not about praising a little faster, a little slower, or this. Even though it might be a little part of it, I don't know. I'm not the right person to ask. But I don't think we believe what we are singing. I'm not sure we really care sometimes. You know what I mean? I mean, they are serious things. But the song, if we want to praise Him, we need to praise Him how? In spirit and in truth. What is the truth? It is an experience. You know, it is an experience. It's like if you say to somebody, I love you, you can tell. Is it the tone of voice? Is it the intensity? Is it the color of the voice? Is it the expression of your face? I don't know. But I can tell that you mean it. Isn't it? Yes. That's what we teach the kids. We teach the children. Well, you need to apologize to each other. I'm sorry. No, no, honey. That's not what I meant. I mean, you really need to apologize to each other. I'm sorry. No, I don't think you understand. I think you miss it. You are missing it. You don't understand what you did. And you try to explain what you did. You have hurt somebody. It's like killing somebody. You know, you can hurt by words. Is it what you want to do? And sometimes what I do, it's a nice trick actually. I say, do you want me to treat mommy like this? No. Shall I go and kick mommy? Shall I go and bite mommy? Imagine it. I mean, is this the way you want us to run the house? No, seriously, because they love mommy and they would hate me to go and bite or kick mommy. Or pull her hair or things like this. Huh? Yeah, or you know, or say bad words. You know, I said, do you want me to do this? Why not? Well, because that's nasty and that's bad. And it's yeah, and then I go to mom and say, sorry. Is that, how would you want me to say sorry to your mommy? Well, it would be nice if you hug her and smile at her and if you say, mommy, I'm so sorry. You know what I'm saying? I said, why don't you do the same? You know what I'm trying to explain? You know, if you go, you can tell by the face, you can tell by the expression whether you mean it. You know, the children, I'm not sure whether the children are glad around me. They know me from the camps and things. They know I'm on them constantly, you know. And the facial expression, sometimes we go and we say, you know, sure. No. Come back. You know, some brethren became very strong by squats and things they do, you know. Because we don't give in. I don't give in when they try to cheat you by lip service. And honestly, God is not to be cheated either. He's not cheated by lip service. I mean, do you think if I see it as a parent and I can tell difference, God doesn't? Do you think if I can tell that the kid is just pulling my leg, he's just paying lip service, do you think God is not seeing even further than that? He sees every of your motives. You can tell Him, God, I love you. Yeah, God, I love you. Hallelujah. Yeah. I love you. What's the dinner, actually? What's the time? Yes, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Amen. The meeting is supposed to start in a minute. You know, we are wasting time. And we are fooling ourselves. No, I really mean it.
Yes, yes.
We need to go down and we need to change.
Amen.
Very practically change.
Amen.
You know, change the way we talk. Change the way we treat each other. Change the way we walk, change the way we fast or don't fast, you know, change the way we come to church. You know, one of the things God was teaching me, when we come to church, that we need to come, focus, we come into His presence. Because we have tendency to treat it very lightly. We come to fellowship, you know, and as if we don't believe we are meeting God and a miracle is going to happen in our midst. Do you know why we don't have it? Because we don't believe it. We are not expecting it. We are not coming for it. We come in 2 minutes before the service starts. You know, we keep talking and explaining and telling everybody about this, and I had this little accident and this situation, and have you heard about latest news and this and that, and I bought a discount, I bought a shirt, you know, and all these things. And the service comes and we are still the first song, we are half in the song and a half still continuing our discussion. You know, brethren, we cannot be deceiving ourselves. And if somebody would come in our midst, what's the testimony? Is it people who care? Is it people dedicated to God? Is it people who are laying down their lives and they are sacrificing it for salvation of the world? Is it people who are repentant? Is it people who are willing to change in a way that they would become alive? Is it people who are hearing God? Are we hearing God? Are we hearing God in a way that one brings a song and another brings another song and we flow together in a spirit? And if not, do we even care? Do we bother? Do we repent? When you go through a song service, and a song service, you can tell, is not what it should be. Do you repent? Do you go before God and say, God, we missed it. What have we done? What have we done? Shall I fast? There was a season where I wouldn't go to church unless fasting. You know, I mean, a little fast. You usually Sunday morning you skip breakfast. You know, or something like this. I just, God, I need to be focused. I need to learn to be focused. I cannot afford. And I'm struggling with this. There are certain things running through my mind, and I cannot afford. What if you speak to my ear, and I will miss you? You know, and God whispers a little word. I come to meeting and God tells me a little word. So I go and I find three scriptures on it. And the meeting starts and the little sister stands up, you know, and starts prophesying. Says, this is the word God is speaking. And I say, yes! Amen. You know what I mean? Or there's a song God is speaking to somebody the whole night, the whole morning. And then the person comes and comes to the musician and say, you know, I believe God is saying this song. And the musician smiles and says, look at my songbook. That's the song he's saying. And you know we have met God. And little things like this. But you know, we are not expecting it. You will not get it. We will not get it unless we believe this is the way we should behave. This is the way we should do. We should be going and meeting with God in every single occasion. Do you believe God can speak through you? At a meeting? Do you believe God can even tonight send you to say somebody to something? And he will say, ah, that's what I need to hear. Thank you. But if meeting finishes and we are full of our own things and minds and already things rush. We are useless for God. We cannot deny it. When people would come and see us in a work, when they see us doing different things, how can they tell there's something different? They need to be drawn, and they need to be asking. You don't need to go and tell everybody, I'm Christian. You know, they come to you and say, you're weird. There's something different. You know, there's something different. What is it? You know, you think differently, behave differently, and you can tell them, and give them a testimony, and bring them. Amen? But bring them to what? You know, sometimes it's a trouble. We give people testimony about God, and they say, well, the only problem is, don't come to our church. Because we deny what I'm just preaching now. It's a shame, brethren. I don't think it's time to beat around the bush. Maybe I should be more nice. I'm a visitor here, right? I'm so sorry. Alright. But we need to face it. We need to make up our minds. What do we want? Do we want to build and establish another denomination, another regular nominal church, and have little fights between ourselves about little things and doctrines? Is that what we really believe we should be doing? Shall we put in place and put here somebody who will speak and preach and do it well, and the rest of us will be just sitting and, you know, enjoying ourselves? Do we believe when we go to meeting that you might play a particular part in the meeting? Maybe by prayer? Maybe by praying the word through, you sometimes see that the person who is speaking is struggling. What are you doing? Are you praying? Are you helping in the Spirit? Are you rebuking the Spirit? I know my wife, when I speak, she always does. You know, she always would be there praying and interceding and praying that God would forgive me, you know, and that He would help, you know, the things go through. Where is our participation? You know what I'm saying? What are we going to do differently when we leave this meeting? What are we going to do differently in the next days? I mean, in our real life, in our relationships, in our hearing God. Are we going to go down on knees and say, God, I don't hear you sufficiently, I need to hear you. And God, I am ready to do what I know. What I already know you have told me to do. I will stop kicking around. I will stop resisting. I will stop fighting. I will do it. Because I need to hear you more. I need to hear you better. Because honestly, and this is what I tell my children, I say, don't you know already? Don't you know already? Didn't I tell you? And if I didn't, shouldn't the Holy Ghost have told you? How come you didn't hear Him? You know, sometimes the children, they take it as an excuse. An excuse is, well, I didn't know. All right. But you were supposed to know. You think the Holy Ghost was not there, tapping on your shoulder and telling you all the time? How come you have missed Him? You know what I'm saying? How come you have missed Him? And the thing is, you know the branches, right? Do you know we are the branches? Yeah. Do you know Jesus is the branch? What is